Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, I'd like to take this, this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the historic Clay County Courthouse right here at 100 Courthouse Square in Salina, Tennessee. And we'd like to thank everyone for listening to us this morning here on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country, coming to you live and in living color each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. in the morning, as we do. It's a nice, bright, sunshiny morning here. The temperature's not too hot yet. No rain yet for a day or two. So we're looking forward to weekend coming up. Lots of activities going on. We'll talk about that a little bit here in a minute. But like I said, it's a great pleasure being able to join with you each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. And with the rebroadcast this evening at 5, remind everyone, if you hear something, tell your neighbors about it and have them to tune in on the rebroadcast this evening. And also, this program will be themed on the Del Hall Horizon website in a short period of time. I know there's a number of those shows that are there posted. And if you want to listen to some of the oldies, you can go back and listen to the oldies but goodies, I guess. But got a good show lined up today. Mayor Reagan is on his way up here. We're going to do our rundown on some of the things going on in the county, and sometimes we wander off onto different things. And also, we've got our gift giveaway. About halfway through the show, we'll read off our list of birthdays and anniversaries. And then at the end of the show, we'll draw out a lucky winner who can then go over by the chamber and pick up their free gift, compliments of WVFB-FM. And let's see, we've got quite a few things going on here this weekend. We'll go over some of those things. And got a couple of public PSAs, public service announcements to do and those things. But right now, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Prescription drug misuse is a prevalent and often fatal problem among youth throughout Tennessee. Your prescriptions are for you alone. It's against the law for anyone else to take them. 3.6% of Clay County students reported having taken a pain medication not prescribed to them in the last 30 days. 7.6% of students surveyed reported that within the last 12 months, at least one of their closest friends have used prescription drugs not prescribed to them, which is alarming. So remember, count it, lock it, drop it. Count it. Count your pills regularly. Make sure none are missing. Lock it. Lock your medications in a safe place to keep them out of the wrong hands. Drop it. Anonymously drop off unused or expired prescriptions anytime in the disposal bin located at the Clay County Sheriff's Office. Find out more on Facebook. Search for Clay County SADD/Anti-Drug Coalition. The Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition reminds you, count it, lock it, drop it. For information and referrals concerning addiction issues, please call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. This project, funded under a grant contracted with the Center of Disease Control and Prevention and the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. Mayor Reagan's on his way up. We will probably had a pressing phone call that slowed him down, but we've got a couple of things to talk about here this morning before he gets here. One thing is that next Thursday and Friday, the Clay County Mobile Food Pantry Second Harvest Food Distribution will be held at the Clay County Fairgrounds. Food intended for Clay County residents. Distribution begins around 9:15, and they request that folks not line up down there before 8 in the morning, and only two families per vehicle. And they say, you know, have your space that you're going to haul the food in cleared out so they can get you loaded up and get you out as soon as possible. So remember that the mobile food pantry, Second Harvest Food Distribution, will be held at the Clay County Fairgrounds. This looked like on Friday, October the 15th, and I'm not sure this is next Thursday. Oh, they want it put on the radio next Thursday, so Friday, October the 15th. So we've got that taken care of. And let's see, looking down through here, some of the things I know over at Clay County High School, this Friday night will be senior night for the football team. This will be their last home game this year, and it's with Grundy County. So everyone come out if you can and watch a great football game by a very good football team this year that remains undefeated. And I believe they're ranked maybe number 5 in the state this past week. So an exciting bunch of young men to watch play the game of football. So come out and take advantage of that this weekend. And let's see. I hadn't done this in a while. I've got 4 or 5 things here on this day in history. Kind of a couple few neat things. One of them is a very familiar date. I think most of us had some little rhyme we learned in long about primer when we started school. And that on this day in 1492, Christopher Columbus arrived in the Bahamas. Now, of course, you know, he's given credit for, you know, discovering the New World, but the New World he discovered was down in the Bahamas. I think he may have finally set foot on the continental United States, but his first trip, he didn't make it all the way up. He stopped off for a vacation in the Bahamas, but this is the day that he arrived. And then a few years later, a development in preservation pictures. In 1884, George Eastman, he patented his first, his first film, which eventually became the Eastman Kodak Company, which was the company for photography for nearly a century until digital came along. His ideas remained with us for many, many years. And then also in 1926, A very interesting book was published. I think most of us have heard of this one, Winnie the Pooh. And I know how many cartoon shows, movies, Pooh Bear, all of the marketing that is still going on with those products. And this book was actually printed in 1957. And, 1926, I jumped down to the next line. The next one involves us here in Tennessee a little bit. In 1957, those of us that remember this, Wake Up Little Susie became a number one hit for the Everly Brothers. I think they were a couple of Kentucky boys, but they wound up down in Tennessee a whole lot. And then in the world of sports, and I think this may be the only time this has ever happened. I don't know whether it's happened in later years or not. But in 1964, Eminem, Manlin Morris, walked up and hit back-to-back home runs in a Major League Baseball game. And I don't think that's been done too many times. So that kind of catches us up on some of the, I guess, at least interesting to me, events that happened in history on this day. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Well, you know, yes, I am. I'm doing well.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I know it's been a while since we've kind of had, I think maybe you went camping one weekend, and we've had lots of activities going on here in Clay County.
And there's been a lot of things taking place and everything. But yeah, it's been a while, and I appreciate the opportunity to get to come back out and be with you.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you here, but I think before we start, we'll take another little short break, come back, get time to catch your breath. You did run all the way up
here. I did, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm putting this bionic hip to work this morning.
How is it working?
It's doing pretty good.
Alamine's still clear in it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll be back just in a minute.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition wants to remind you, as children mature, it is natural for them to assert their independence, seek new challenges, and engage in risky behavior. Underage drinking is one such behavior that attracts many adolescents. They may want to try alcohol, often do not recognize its effect on their health and behavior. People ages 12 to 20 drink 4% of all alcohol consumed in the United States. Although youth drinks less often than adults do, when they do drink, they drink more. More than 90% of all alcoholic drinks consumed by young people are consumed through binge drinking. For more information or referrals, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. This project is funded under a grant contracted with the Center of Disease Control and Prevention and the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. Looks like the sheriff just strolled in. We're not under arrest or anything, are we, Mayor? I mean,
Well, I hope not, anyway.
I believe everybody's good here.
Okay. Like I said, you haven't been up here with us a little while. You want to do a little rundown on some of the things?
We can. Well, matter of fact, the sheriff was down at my office, and I told him what's coming up, and that we might want to come up and just give everybody a little bit of an update on the jail and everything. He said he'd be glad to come up and be with us, so we're glad to have him. We had a county court meeting last Monday night, and we had six resolutions that the commissioners took in consideration and had a couple of motions, and they had, I think we had more than one, notary, and on one paper we had one notary, but a lot of times they'll add notaries to it before we, at planning, before we come to the commission meeting, they'll add some more notaries to it and everything, and which they did, so we had four notaries that the commissioners approved, and had a resolution to change a road, or do the correction on the spelling of the name of a road on the 911 board map, and they did that, and had some resolutions for amendments, and for and one of them was related to you, Thomas, on your courthouse. We call it the window project, and where that, and you might explain that a little bit to the people if they want to make a donation. And any money that you get, you have to get it, and then you have to take it down to the trustee and or to the county bank, we call it, and then it goes into a fund that has to be go through the county commission to where that they amend it and transfer it over into that proper fund to where the money can be used for this project and everything. So it's quite a bit of things that have to be done in the process of that and everything. And also we had talk about the upcoming meeting that we're going to have in November of a lot of the different things that we're going to be appointing different positions. We also do gas bids for the county maintenance department and the county sheriff department and everything for the gas. We always bid that out every year, and that's coming up in November.
Okay, and now just a little bit about that. Does the county still maintain a depot where that you actually have the gas on site, like we did used to out at the school and all that kind of thing?
No, the school does and the highway department does, I think, but the county don't. No.
Okay, so you just does one of the local businesses bid for it and guarantee you that price,
right,
within a certain range of what they have to pay for it?
Yeah, most of the time they'll the company is, and of course in the past few years, I guess the heavy stack shale out here is been awarded that for the last, I don't know, several years, and but they will give you a discount rate. Plus, I mean, you know, all the taxes and stuff are taken off of it.
Right.
Plus, the shell company will give a discount rate. Plus, the owner will also kick in and give a little of a discount and everything. So that helps. But the sheriff department has got probably the biggest amount because of all his patrol cars and everything, and then of course our solid waste department gets it and our maintenance department gets it and everything. So on our solid waste department, diesel is one of our bigger things that we use for that and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, that's coming up in November, so any of you businesses out there, if you're interested in it, just call the office at the mayor's office down there and we'll give you the information and everything, and we'll be opening bids on that November 1st at the county court meeting and everything.
Well, you know, and there's something too a lot of folks don't think about is that basically anything that's above a certain amount, I'm sure down there, it has to be opened up to public bid, like everything from motor oil to tires to all the way down to lug nuts if you need them, doesn't it?
A lot of things. Now, I know the sheriff, and he can speak to this a lot better than I can, but a lot of his vehicles and stuff, he gets on like state bids and stuff like that and everything. He can do that without having to go through what we call a procurement policy.
Right.
But the basic procurement policy for the county is anything over $10,000 has to be publicly bid. And we have to advertise for that.
Right.
I think. So, that's another one of the processes you have to go through and everything. And also, we'll be appointing a park director And the way that works is that we advertise, and I think it came out in the paper maybe last week, I guess it was. But anybody that's interested in applying for that can call the office as well and pick up an application and get them turned back in to us so that the park board meets the fourth Thursday of each month. And so they'll be meeting, I guess, next Thursday night, and a week from tonight, I guess. And they take those apps and they look them over. They do the interviews and all that, and then they'll come back and make their recommendation to the county commission, who they think is a good candidate for that position and everything. So anybody out there, of course, Tanner Rich is our park director right now, and so anyone is interested in putting in for that, you need to get you an application and get it to us.
Does that mean Tanner's not coming back, or?
I don't know. I haven't talked to Tanner. No, I hadn't seen and don't know that I know of any that's picked up at this point. But
is that an annual thing each year?
It is. We do it every year.
Every year. Okay.
They chose to do that here, I don't know, a couple of years, two, 3 years ago, and to do it every year. So that's the way we've been doing it.
That's a pretty busy little appointment, isn't it? His job is to schedule any type of event down there.
His duties are pretty much, and there is a list of duties that you have to go by. And one of the big things is kind of be the overseer or the curator, more or less, of the park and oversee everything, the day-to-day operations of it. And yes, and the buildings that we got, we call it the women's building, and I always refer to the other one as the auditorium, the bigger building and everything. So, and he is in charge of, if you want to rent that out, and he or she, whoever it is in charge of overseeing that and collecting the funds for that and making sure everything is taken care of, and then the money, like you have to do, like we was talking about a moment ago, when you get funds in for your project up here, those funds have to be turned over to the trustee's office within 3 business days.
So it's not real simple, is it?
Well,
nothing is anymore, is it, with all the rules and regulations?
Well, there's checks and balances on just about everything that we do and everything, and which that's it.
Thank goodness.
That's a good thing. And
it protects both sides pretty well, doesn't it?
And also, we got some members that the E-911 board will be reappointed. Their reappointment is as well as there is some park board members that will be up for reappointment or replacement or whatever. And our EMA director appointment will be up, and they'll be looking at reappointing. And Kyle, of course, Kyle Haney is our EMA director now, and Kyle has, matter of fact, he was in the office with when the sheriff was down there this morning, and he has expressed an interest that he wanted to continue to be that if the commission, allows him to do that. So that will be coming up in November as well. And another important thing that's coming up in November that we'll be doing is filling the vacancy of school board member that we had a school board member in District 1, which was Mr. Chris McLaren, and he had resigned that position. And so it falls back on the county commission to fill that vacancy, and they've got 120 days to do that. But we want to try to get that filled as soon as we can,
right?
Because that district needs to have the same representations, just like all the rest of and everything. So we have plans to do that in November.
Okay, and that term will consist of till the next election or to the end of his elected term. Or?
Yes, it'll be they'll whoever they appoint to that will finish out the term of
Chris.
Yes,
and then we go through the election process.
Same thing. But basically, it is, the only difference is you got your county commissioners are the ones appointing that. All the qualifications and stuff has
still
to be met.
Right.
The same.
Right.
So anybody that's interested in being a candidate need to let me know or let me know. and we will get them in touch with the election administrator, and she will go over the guidelines, the qualifications and stuff, because they have to meet the qualifications. I think you've got to be a, of course, naturally you've got to be a resident
right.
of that district, and I think you have to be 18 years or older, and I think you have to be a resident of that district for a year, and then you have to have a high school education or a high school diploma or an equivalent of a GED. And so there's some things that you have to, and they have to look at that and make sure that you're qualified for that position. And if you are, then they'll pass that on to me, and then I'll pass that on to the county commissioner.
It's a very, well, that is going to be a very, very important position coming up here right now, because we are going to be appointing a new director of schools.
Yeah.
And with the chain of command, now that's a very, very important position, because once he's appointed, he is pretty much a one-man show from the top down, isn't it?
And I think that, too, is one of the reasons why that we're going to try to get that vacancy filled as soon as we can. There.
Okay. What else we got?
Well, that pretty much goes over the things that we had as far as in the county commission that night, other than I would like to bring everybody up to date about our census. I think that most everybody is aware of it by now, that we did, the census committee did meet, not the census committee, but the redistricting committee, which goes off of the census, the results
right.
of the census. And, of course, we're in the redistricting year, and we got to get that done before the first of the year. By law, comptroller's office states by law, we have to have that redistricting done and finished by January. So Ben Rogers with CTAS came up and met with the committee, and they went over. We didn't have a whole lot of change. We had some one district lost a few, and overall I think we lost about 280 something like that, about 4% I think overall. So we didn't grow any, and I was surprised. I thought we would. And I still think that, it's not that I'm, upset at the census, but I don't agree with it somewhat, because, and it's not their fault, because the census reporting fell in one of the worst times it could have ever failed
right.
during the COVID. And so they didn't get to do a whole lot. And but anyway, I know they've done the best they could and everything. So, and, we're probably, in a situation here where that we've had a lot of folks that have been deceased, and we just last year alone during the COVID, I think that we had about 30 or 31 folks that was their death was related to the COVID. So you take that right there, and over a period of 10 years, we've had a lot of folks that have passed on from this life, and I don't think that we're having as many newborns as we are having those that are passing on. So, and that has a factor too, but I was still a little bit disappointed, because I know that we've got a lot of folks that have retired here.
Right.
We've got a lot of retirees that's coming
and
in.
We have a lot of younger people that are moving in
Absolutely.
Here for a change, which is kind of a change.
But I've learned that even though that we have some that are coming and purchasing property and building homes and stuff, they're not really yet moved here,
they
don't get counted.
Right, they haven't become citizens.
Yeah, so in other words, and that I think that had a factor to do with it too. And so, but I mean, overall, we our census report was, like I said, I wasn't pleased with it, but I guess
maybe
I can do about that and everything. But we got a redistricting thing on track, and we'll probably be voting on that in November too. Ben said, which Ben Rogers is our CTAS rep, and he said that that he thought that he would have a resolution for us to approve. The only changes that was made was in the first district, and they just moved it just a little bit out there around the. Help me out here.
Happy
sir.
Ridge Road.
Yeah, out there they moved that just a little bit. And I don't think it affected anybody, did it?
Not much. If it is, just a couple of houses.
Yeah.
It wouldn't.
And so that all the other districts are pretty much they didn't bother them. So,
well, that's something too. Over the years, the historic districts in Clay County have changed tremendously because we've had a shift in where people were living here in the county. Places that 50 years ago it didn't have two families on a big farm there now. There may be 20 families there where it's been subdivided. And
it still creates a problem for some of the areas in a rural area that still have to travel quite a few miles to go vote the day of voting because they're so far away from a precinct.
Well, you know, how many precincts do we have now?
Five.
How many did we have? We had, golly, 10 or 15 at one time here in the county. Just about everybody got it.
We
had little voting booths all over the county, didn't we?
Yeah, they were several. Let's see. Let me make sure that I'm telling you right. There is five, right? They vote in Hurt Springs. Yeah, something like that.
So we got five places.
I think that's right and everything. But, yeah, like you said, used to, there was people would go vote back years ago when I first started voting, when we'd write it in them with a pencil and everything. I think the first place that I ever went and voted was over here at Beach Bethany Church in the basement over there. And so now they used to have in the Freehills, I think they had a voting precinct up there. They don't have that now. And Moss don't have one.
Election Day in Moss used to be a national holiday. Union Hill.
You remember the old cannon balls that they have with a flame on them that they set out on the road there in Moss? I remember that. And of a night, because election would go way after dark a lot of times and set them up and everything. But that's changed. But all in all, with our redistricting this year, which it'll be, they do that every 10 years, according to the census. We should be, get that done.
Then after election, the polls closed, everybody gathered here around the square, and I guess election officer came out and made the announcements when the came in, and then all that kind of, it's sometimes past midnight thing here around the square, getting everything in and getting it counted. But, of course, voting now is quite a bit easier with the early voting thing where you can go down there at your leisure and check in.
That's a good thing.
Became a little bit more inconvenient in some ways, but more convenient in others.
Right.
It seems like it's kind of balanced out. I guess I'm going to read the birthdays, take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a second.
Sure.
celebrating birthdays this past week, we'd like to wish Miss Louise Young a happy birthday, but I think she's living down with her daughter right now. But
I think that's where she's at.
And we'd like to wish her a happy birthday. And also, Mr. Lonnie Short had a birthday on the 13th, looks like. And this came from his mother, father, brother, and niece. Happy birthday to him. Then we had someone call in Deanie Smith's birthday. And then Liz Brown called in birthdays for Crystal Charleston and Jim Ray Johnson. And then also this past week, we had Miss Dawn Rain celebrate the birthday. Carrie Beth Scott celebrated the birthday. Megan Copas celebrated the birthday. And then today, Gavin Beasley celebrated the birthday. And I'd like to do a shout-out to my niece over in Tompkinsville. We'll not give her a chance to get any of our Clay County gifts or anything. That's Miss Lisa Thomas over there who celebrated the birthday this past week. And also, Kevin and Christy Beasley celebrated their 24th wedding anniversary this past week. So all those folks, we'd like to wish you happy anniversary and happy birthday. And we'll be selecting someone to receive one of our gifts from WVFB here at the end of the show. And with that, we'll be back just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Prescription drug misuse is a prevalent and often fatal problem among youth throughout Tennessee. Your prescriptions are for you alone. It's against the law for anyone else to take them. 3.6% of Clay County students reported having taken a pain medication not prescribed to them in the last 30 days. 7.6% of students surveyed reported that within the last 12 months, at least one of their closest friends have used prescription drugs not prescribed to them, which is alarming. So remember, count it, lock it, drop it. Count it. Count your pills regularly. Make sure none are missing. Lock it. Lock your medications in a safe place to keep them out of the wrong hands. Drop it. Anonymously drop off unused or expired prescriptions anytime in the disposal bin located at the Clay County Sheriff's Office. Find out more on Facebook. Search for Clay County SADD/Anti-Drug Coalition. The Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition reminds you, count it, lock it, drop it. For information and referrals concerning addiction issues, please call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. This project, funded under a grant contracted with the Center of Disease Control and Prevention and the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, it's a pleasure being here this Friday morning. Got two very interesting guests this morning. The second guest, he's down on the fur end of the table, and talk a little bit about the process, the procedure, what's going on with our highly anticipated new jail.
Well, thank you for having me, Thomas, this morning. Our jail project is moving along still. It's, we're in a phase of it that's it's sort of slow at this point. The plans and stuff has been submitted to the state for the Fire Marshal's Office and the TCI, which is the Tennessee Corrections Institute. And it still has to have their stamp of approval before we can move forward. Once that stamp is on there, it'll go out to bid, hopefully, around the end of January, maybe February. It could be a little later, but that's the anticipated time frame right now. And then we'll see where it comes in. And, obviously the cost of construction is up a little bit, but the architect is still hopeful that we can get some companies out there that's going to be competitive as far as putting bids in towards the construction of the jail.
Okay. I guess, is there a maximum amount that we've got allocated for this?
The county does have a loan right now through USDA for $7.5 million.
So it needs to come in pretty close to
that. Oh, yes. Yes. We're hoping it will. It's just we won't know until them numbers come in, though. And obviously if it comes in over, then we'll have to go back before the commission and try to figure out what
a whole new process.
Another process. And, the thing about it is, the jail that we have designed at this point is pretty much a bare minimum jail. It's not nothing fancy. It is 100 bed. There's not really a lot of cuts that can be made to this design. That's the, and we've done that on purpose. We don't need nothing fancy, and we just need it to be functional and, do the job that needs to be done. My biggest concern, or I wouldn't say fear, it's just a concern, is being able to find people to work there. I'm struggling now finding employees. it's our county is limited to the revenue coming into it, so we can't pay what some of these other counties are paying. And I've got people leaving, obviously to better themselves and their family, and you can't fault someone for that. But it is it's a struggle. I've got employees working. My administrative assistant, she's stepped up to the plate and worked numerous hours over what she's normally does. She's dispatching. She's still doing her job as that. And we've all had to step up and work extra because we just don't have the people. So I would say if there's anyone out there that has a desire to be in the correctional field or dispatcher and law enforcement, please come and see me. Obviously, there is some qualifications that you have to have and meet prior to being employed at the sheriff's office. So there's a background check, there's a drug screen, there's a lot of things that we have to go through, a psychological evaluation, a physical, and other things, and you got to be able to do certain things before you can take certain jobs. So, but I would encourage anyone that's looking for part-time, full-time, come and see me, and we'll discuss what I have available.
Okay, let me ask you, if I were coming down and say, hey, I think I'd like to work down here. I think I'd like to be a deputy. What's the process for me?
So we first start off with just basic interview, find out, do you have, obviously you got to have your high school diploma or equivalent GED. And then, you have to have a psychological evaluation and a medical evaluation before you can even be sent to the academy. Now, we're required to send someone to the academy within 6 months of employment. So the clock starts ticking the day you hire someone to be a deputy. And
tell them we're busy. Okay, now, the academy thing.
Uh-huh.
Do you or can you, I know you pay for the academy for it.
We do.
And are they then required to work for you so many months, a year or something?
So we do actually have them to sign a written contract basically stating that if we provide the training, get you qualified as a certified officer, you will commit 2 years to Clay County as an officer. So we've had a couple that's not followed through with that. But one thing, for the most part, we've had a lot of people that they've been successful, and in law enforcement, it's integrity. And usually when you tell someone you're going to do something, that's what you try to do. And because law enforcement's a small area when it comes to the group as a whole across the state, and everyone talks to everyone. So if you've got someone that don't commit to you the 2 years they say they would, a lot of people has problems hiring that person.
Right.
If they're not willing to commit to you. So I tell people before we hire them, you need to really think about the decisions you make in law enforcement because it can follow you for the rest of your career.
Okay, now, Sheriff, not being derogatory or anything, but I know we hear out in the public that there are so many that the people here in Clay County don't know them.
That's true. And the reason that is, Thomas, is because we don't have people from Clay County applying for them positions. I could hire three or four deputies right now that I have applications. They just want to get certified, and they're from other areas. They know that Clay County has a tendency to put people through the academy. I've been through 50 officers since I've been in office, and that is astronomical.
Yes, it is.
And it's really disappointing because in order to really do an effective job, you need to be able to keep good, qualified, good, sound people that the people know and trust. When you start getting things done and then you've got two or three officers leaves, you start right back at the beginning because you're having to train them people and you're taking your certified and your qualified people that's got years of experience trying to train them, and it's taking away from the job they're doing too. So it is a struggle. So right now I currently have two deputies that I've hired that's actually sitting in dispatching for me because I can't find dispatchers. And dispatching is unique in Clay County because it's dual jobs. It's corrections and dispatching. And now that will not be once the jail gets built, but as of right now it is, and you don't find a lot of people that wants to do, you either find some that wants to do just the dispatching or maybe some that just wants to do the corrections, but there's very few that wants to do both of them.
Okay, with that, let's take a little short break. Come back. Yes. We'll continue on with this a little bit. We'll be right back in a moment.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition wants to remind you, as children mature, it is natural for them to assert their independence, seek new challenges, and engage in risky behavior. Underage drinking is one such behavior that attracts many adolescents. They may want to try alcohol, often do not recognize its effect on their health and behavior. People ages 12 to 20 drink 4% of all alcohol consumed in the United States. Although youth drinks less often than adults do, when they do drink, they drink more. More than 90% of all alcoholic drinks consumed by young people are consumed through binge drinking. For more information or referrals, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. This project is funded under a grant contracted with the Center of Disease Control and Prevention and the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. Sheriff, we were talking about your deputies here. Let's look at the top and the bottom scale of salaries here in Clay County. Your starting salary is basically...
Okay, so in corrections and dispatch, to the day you start, we start you out at $10 an hour. And obviously, there's in dispatch and corrections, there's like three different certifications you're going to get in that process. And each certification, you're going to get a raise. That certification, a lot of times, depends on the employee's ability to go through some online courses, and then your willingness and your eagerness to learn. Sometimes it's they want to put it off, and that delays them from getting the raise. But once they're got all their certifications, it's roughly around $11. And then, of course, the county has at this point, it's 1.5% raise every year after that. You know, I've got dispatchers at the $10 mark, and then I've got dispatchers at the, probably around the ones that's been there for quite a few years is around the $12. Deputies is, you know, you start out at 12, without a certification, and once you get certified, you go to 13, which is pretty low on the scale compared to other counties, and that's one reason we don't get a lot of prospects for, well, dispatch and law enforcement officers is you know, the pay scale is a little low for the profession that we're in.
Okay, now, is there anything like regulations with overtime pay or anything?
Yes.
You are governed by that.
We are. It's the Department of Labor standards. We have comp time, and we have paid some overtime. But typically, if someone's working extra, it goes as comp time, and it just builds. It's sort of like a bank of time.
Right.
It's figured at time and a half, just like you're being paid overtime, but it's just a bank of time that they can take off. And, you know, and that hurts sometimes, too. If you got an employee that's been with you for a little while, they leave employment, and you're paying them out $4,000 or $5,000 in comp time.
Okay, and I know the sheriff's office is a salaried position. Are there any other salaried positions in your department?
There is not, no.
Okay.
Now, there probably needs to be one, especially my chief deputy. His probably needs to be a salaried position.
And it needs to be a pretty decent set, because that, next to you, he's the second most important law enforcement.
It is, and it's... you know, people, I get criticized a whole lot, Thomas, because of, I don't arrest nobody. I hear that from a couple of people, and the days of the sheriff going out and arresting people are behind us. And, you know, the job of the sheriff is more administratively now, and the paperwork, and actually we have inmates housed in six different counties. So it's a constant, struggle just to keep up with where everybody's at and what's going on. And you know, I have roughly 32 positions. Now, I don't have 32 people right now, but so keeping up with them can be a struggle too. So it frustrates me when people say, well, I don't ever see you in the paper for arresting anybody. And them days, I mean, I don't care a bit to go arrest someone. I still have done that, but on a day-to-day basis, that's not going to be my job out there.
Tell them, well, pick me out one.
Yeah.
And we'll go get him.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay, but now.
One thing I would like to hit on about the jail, and I know we've passed that up a little bit, but I know I've been asked quite a few times, well, where's all that money going that we're paying for a wheel tax? Well, people, that money is being stored and banked away. That money's earmarked for the jail. Just to give you an example, you know, the first payment will be due one year after the jail is built and opened. We should be able to pay a substantial amount on the first payment, a lot more than what we would anticipate. The annual payment was figured somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000. We're closer to
$360,000 is about
what it's. I don't want to put a number to it, but every bit of the wheel tax money is going into the county, and it's not being spent. People think that it's just being spent for other things, and it can't be done that way.
Yeah, you know, we did the increase on the wheel tax. The commissioners did a couple, I guess it's been about 2 years now, going on 2 years now. And we increased it $50, which made their overall wheel tax $75. And $28 of that is going into debt service to pay the debt on the new facility. And $22 will be going into the operational cost of the new facility and everything. Because whenever, you know, the sheriff, when the jail is opened up, you've got to have funding to help, you know, just like what he was talking about, you know, with staffing. It's going to have to, because he can't, desegregation of duties falls into place there, because you won't have dispatchers that will be correction officers. The state won't allow that. We're very fortunate and blessed that the sheriff and them does an excellent job with the staff that he's got and everything, working with the state department of the corrections, and as well as the fire marshal's office and stuff, that allows us to do those duties, I guess, cross-trained is what I was always taught back when we was in the old garment industry. You know, you cross-train somebody on two or three different jobs in case somebody was out one day and you needed that to be done. And that's what he's done now with dispatching and being the correction officers and stuff. But when we get into that new facility, as the sheriff mentioned a moment ago, can't do that.
So that's going to be a major change, isn't it?
Big, big change.
Oh, and, you know, we were talking about that $75 for the wheel tax in Clay County. And How many of us go over to Texas Roadhouse with a family of four and sit down and spend $75 on supper one night and don't think twice about it? And yet when it's something to improve our county.
Well, I just want to make everyone aware that it wasn't. That decision wasn't taken lightly. I mean, because I know the sheriff done a good job of putting a PowerPoint presentation together, and he worked on that for a long time. And then, I don't know how many people can remember this, but we did. We went out in the county. We had little town hall meetings and stuff, and in the West End, the East End, and here in Salina, and. For the people to, you know, to get their input and to let them know what we were going through. And, it was a hard decision, but, I mean, it was a decision that was going to have to be made because this has been, you know, something that's been on the table for several years.
For a long time.
And like the sheriff said there a moment ago, you know, one of the reasons why he ain't out arresting people like, you know, a lot of people think that he needs to be doing and everything because he's an administrator and he's got inmates and 5 to 6 different counties that they're having to house out and everything. And, you know, we cannot house females down here. And that's one of the things, you know, that's one of our biggest things right now as well as some of the others. And that's cost. That's a big cost, you know, that, and it's been, they've done an excellent job. And I'm not saying this because he's sitting over here next to me, but through this past year has been hard on everybody, the COVID. And but they have really done a good job of keeping that down as low as we possibly have been able to, and I appreciate the efforts they put forth. But we want everybody to understand and know that funding is going into accounts that will be used toward the new facility and paying the debt off on it and everything. And that amount was based off of the sheriff being able to, like we're doing now, we're housing out inmates to other counties and state inmates and stuff, and having some of that help offset some of that cost and everything that we'd be incurring and through the debt and the operational cost.
Well, you know, there's something there that there may be a little change in the wind away from crowding of prisoners, you know, with the big companies, because there's been a lot of bad rep on them the last little bit, and I think a lot of counties have rethought this idea of, you know, privatizing some of the law enforcement incarceration and things like that, and hopefully that will fall back to counties like Clay County and the smaller counties.
Yeah, it's, you know, Thomas, it amazes me that we still have people in the community and that thinks we don't need a jail, and I would encourage anyone that's hearing this, if you feel that we don't need one, you need to come and see me. And I'll sit down and explain and talk to you and show you a bunch of reasons why we need a facility. If you have a family member or a loved one, you want them people to be housed in the local areas and not being sent across the state somewhere else and not having to travel to go see them. And right now that's just not happening because I've got to keep my numbers down right now in our facility here just to help with the staffing problem that I've got. So,
well, guess what we have done?
Run out of time.
We have run out of time. And the mayor just threw a number out, and Mr. Lonnie Short, you can thank him. He drew your number out today.
Happy birthday.
And you can go over to the chamber and pick up your gift envelope over there.
And before we leave, I would like to echo and wish a happy anniversary to my son and my daughter-in-law, but she's my daughter, Scotty and Sarah, celebrating their, oh my goodness, I guess their 15th or 16th wedding anniversary. They did that Monday on the 11th.
Tell your wife she's supposed to call those in.
I know. And
we're going to have to shut the doors here and get ready to get out and get some other things done today. But we appreciate everyone listening to us today. And we'd like to say, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully it's WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And until then, good day, Clay County.